Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's streaming now on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
So like the first time I booked a proper tour, I was like, let's do it for just 2 months. That doesn't seem long. 60 days. But I go, but I don't want any nights off. So it was 60 days, 60 shows, but then it started selling well. And so we did two shows every night. So 120 shows in 60 days.
It was crazy.
Tosh Show.
Tosh Show. Tosh Show. Eddie?
Yo.
Hit him with a hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo.
Hootie hoo.
I'm fired up today.
Why are you fired up?
The fans of this show that want it both ways are driving me insane. When people get upset about the money I spend on something. A few weeks ago, I mentioned how much it cost to line my drawers throughout my house. I know it's absurd, okay? But I think it's interesting to share with you the real numbers. So if I'm gonna share with you the real numbers things cost and what I get paid for things, because I think that's very interesting and I think you would like that information, then I need you not to be like, I can't fucking believe somebody would spend this much. It's what it is. It's not your world. It's relative, but you don't get it both ways. Either I'm not going to tell you the numbers or I'm going to tell you and you'll just be like me. Holy shit, that's crazy.
Right.
I think that's fair.
They're going to ruin it for everybody.
You're going to ruin it for everybody. Just enjoy that it's a world you'll probably never be a part of.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be clear. I know where I came from. I moved 14 times before I was 12 years old. Then when I was 12 years old, I moved to Florida, Titusville, Florida, our home. Cost around $75,000, three bedroom, two bath, four kids, two parents, great home. They owned it for 30 years-ish, and then they sold it for $92,000 or something like that.
They killed it.
Oh my goodness. What a huge return on investment. That's what you get in Florida. So I grew up in that world. I appreciate everything that I've received, but, you know, easy. By the way, I got so angry, Eddie, you're going to like this. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk comedy now.
Okay.
Like every other comics podcast. I brought my calendars from back in the day.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, man, I found them. So we're going to go through my calendars. This is so you can see what I was making and where I was. This is back in 1998. All right. I was at Looney's in Colorado Springs from the 23rd through the 27th.
What'd you make?
For five nights, two shows a night, I made a total of $400.
Wow.
And then on the 30th, which was Yom Kippur, I have a note to call Bobby Jewell.
Down there.
That's the owner of Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida. He was a comic/comedy club owner. Then in October, the 7th through the 11th, then was at Zany's in Nashville, Tennessee.
All right. What'd you make there?
I made $500 for a week of work. The following week, I was in Tennessee. I was staying in Tennessee. So I'm in Tennessee for 2 weeks. Then I was at Comedy Catch in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much I made for that week? $450. Not friends with that person. Don't remember who it was, but I remember that at the end of the week, he gave me a stern talking to and told me that I need to stop making jokes about some of the other people that work there. I forgot who it was. Who's that? Who was the funniest man in America? What was his name?
Oh, Dick Gregory.
James Gregory. I remember making fun of him on stage, and the club owner pulled me aside and said, "Don't you ever make fun of him." November 1998. Oh, I was doing a run of creative gigs. Okay, so now creative gigs, they were the comedy zones. They were in the Southeast. You would do one a night in a different venue. One night, you wouldn't get paid. And they're like, just don't worry about it. And the next night, you would do a show at a different club, you know, 100 miles away. And they're like, this club would overpay you $350. And like, that'll make up for the night before. So they would just like rob one place.
Yeah.
And the other place, you're like, just don't worry about it. But I was making $150 a night.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Hickory, North Carolina. Then I have a note here. Well, I say it like Hickory, but like our the comedian John Reap, our friend right? John Reap. I have a note here. They did not pay me. The check bounced. Then I was in Columbus, Mississippi. I went to Miami for the 15th and 16th of November, 1998. Then I was in Chapel Hill, North Carolina on the 18th. Harrisburg on the 19th, Charleston, West Virginia on the 20th and 21st for a grand total of $350.
Oh,
here's a big one. December 1998, I was at Uncle Funny's Davie, Florida. I was the MC. The middle act was Greg Hahn. The headliner, Doug Stanhope.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Fun week. What'd you make?
$400. $400. Man, I was living it up. Oh, I also made an appearance December 7th. I popped into Comedy Traffic School and did a surprise set. You know what that is, guys? When you'd get a ticket, you could go to traffic school, but in Florida, they would have Comedy Traffic School, which was taught by comedians that had failed. But some of them were my friends, so they'd be like, hey, come by. I have to teach for 4 hours, and you can just do a set in front of these people. It's just miserable. Then I was off to Macon, Georgia, heading to the Comedy House Theater. The 15th through the 20th, got to stay in the Shoney's Inn.
Oh.
So I had a free hotel room and made for 6 nights a total of $450.
I mean, that's good.
New Year's Eve, 1998. Bonkers. Huh? That's a good gig. Joe Sanfilippo, owner of that club. It was in 3Ds. Which was Dennis Scott's restaurant. He was with the Orlando Magic at the time.
Okay.
Oh, man. Guess what they paid me?
No clue.
They didn't.
Oh, they didn't make it.
Didn't pay me. Oh, this one's sad.
Okay.
January 1999, from the 5th through the 10th, I was in Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida with John Panette.
Oh,
R.I.P. Yeah.
What'd you make?
$500 total. But he probably gave me a few extra bucks. Oh, the 27th of January, 1999 was the first time I performed in Los Angeles. I flew out to do a show at the Melrose Improv.
Nice.
Uh-huh. No money. So, like, get off me when I fucking tell you what stuff cost. Check this out. April 1999, got to do a show on the 15th for E, my first like television show.
Oh, nice.
I was doing some wild on thing. I don't know what it was.
You get the money in there for that?
A couple $100. It says $700. $700 they paid me. That's pretty good. April 1999, the 24th, I opened for the Beach Boys. What do you think the Beach Boys paid me in 1999 to open for them?
$1,500.
$250.
Beach Boys.
Yeah. Oh, this is a big date. June 1st, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I did?
June 1st, 1999. A college gig.
Nope. Moved to Los Angeles.
What?
Yep. And got to do a show that night, hosted an open mic night, got paid. Ready for it?
Yeah.
$75. First night in LA, I made $75.
You're like, this is easy.
Not bad. That's not bad at all.
Nope.
Same month, back to Florida on the 25th and 26th of June, 1999, got to open in Melbourne for Larry the Cable Guy.
Okay.
Yep. $200.
God, what is happening?
$200. August 1999, August 4th through the 8th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, open for Todd Glass.
Okay.
Yep.
$550.
$600.
Wow, so close.
Yeah. Todd made sure I got paid. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go through this. This is good stuff. What's the Imperial Palace?
Oh, that's a casino in Vegas. Well, it was probably a couple of them, but it was a...
This one, I think, is in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Yeah, that's that track.
I made for eight shows, $700. That's not bad. If I'm in a casino, because I won on the tables.
Yeah.
Also, on the 21st of that month, I had my cable installed between 10 and 2.
That's big.
Want to know what I paid for that? No, I don't know. That's not written on here. October 1999, October 5th, I shot Comedy Central's Premium Blend.
Whoa.
That was the beginning of the relationship that blossomed into one of the greatest TV shows the network had ever put on the air, South Park. Hey, I opened for Todd Glass on the 20th of October, 1999. Guess what I got paid? $50. How about okay, here's a big gig. 1999, November 12th, I was at FSU. They were going to pay me $5,500. I said they were going to. They canceled me before I flew out. Would have been my biggest show to date. Canceled. I mean,
that's a big one.
Yeah, it stung. God, it stung. Oh, here, New Year's, December 1999. I'm opening for Louis Black back at Uncle Funny's. Did 5 shows, got $1,000.
There you go.
Yeah. Cha-ching. I'm not done, guys. I'm not done. Year 2000, January, the 25th through the 30th, I'm opening for Dave Chappelle.
With Cap City?
I'm in Cap City in Austin, Texas.
Oh, I remember that show.
Yep. Guess what I got paid for that week?
$550.
$800.
Okay.
I got to headline the first 2 nights.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dave would never do a full week. Oh, I did a college in Georgia, Columbus State.
Mm-hmm.
Got $1,310.
$310.
Who negotiated? That's stupid. That's so dumb. I can't stop doing this, guys.
It's good.
I'm going to go the whole way through. Oh, here we go. Sacramento Punchline, February 2000, the 23rd through the 27th. I'm opening for Dave Attell. Huh? That was a big deal for me. I was excited.
$650.
How much did I get paid for that? No, $500 plus accommodations.
Oh, yeah.
But that was where my love of Tahoe started, because I would drive over to Sierra Tahoe.
Okay.
Every day I would snowboard and then drive back and do the shows at night. All for a week at the Best Western at the Punchline there. Again, I had a free hotel room and I got $500. So and that's only 24 years ago.
Right.
You guys get up my ass because I pay too much for an Airstream renovation. April 4th, 2000, I have a pitch at MTV. Little did I know then that they were going to say no to me for the next decade. Oh, this is exciting. May 2000, where am I? New Zealand.
Wow.
For 2 weeks, I get paid $4,400. Guess what? They decided to only pay me $2,200 after I did the shows. Yeah, he still owes me. I'm sure he'll make right. Oh, one of my favorite places to perform. Performed there with Eddie, opened for Eddie there. Mm-hmm. This wasn't the week that I opened for you, but it was May 24th through the 28th in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Working for Cliffy.
Working for Cliff and Pat. Don't right? short Pat.
I won't.
Pat was working there at that time. They had a pitch on the 21st in June with MTV again with Rod Asa. Again, passed on me. Always passed on me. Probably made the right choice. I can't stop this, man. Oh, August 2000. From the 8th to the 13th, I was at Catch a Rising Star in Reno, Nevada.
There you go.
My first time in Reno back then. Oh, man.
What'd you make?
$850. They treated me right.
Yeah.
And I guarantee I won on the blackjack table. My first weekend in Las Vegas was October 2000, the 16th through the 22nd. That is a long, that is 7 days. That is 7 days, 14 shows. Guess what I got paid?
$850.
$1,200 plus room.
The Riviera?
Yep. At the Riviera. I refuse to stop doing this.
They brought it on themselves, Daniel.
They brought it on themselves.
They complained.
To act like I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. All right, let's get into this episode. I'm no longer putting hundreds of thousands of miles on my 1991 Honda Civic Si Black hatchback with the moonroof, base cannon, for $100 a night. Okay, now I got jets and tour buses full of dogs and kids. And today's guest is always there making sure Team Tosh keeps on purring like a kitten. Enjoy. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Tosho. My guest today has spent time on the road with almost every famous comic you can think of. He's seen me perform live over 60,000 times and is the only person I enjoy seeing backstage because he has my paycheck. Please welcome Live Nation's VP of Comedy Touring, aka my promoter, Andy Leavitt. Andy, how are you?
Things are good. Doing all right.
This is a big get for me, having you on the show. Andy, do you believe in ghosts?
I do not.
Okay.
But real quick, I'm shocked that most comics say that the Comedy Store is haunted and they've always had these experiences.
Nothing's haunted and the Comedy Store is just dirty. That's just the sound of semen sticking to your feet as you walk through. Let's start with some simple stuff. You grew up in Baltimore. I know you're a big sports fan. Colts or Ravens?
Ravens all
the way. Do you pronounce it Baltimore or Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Lobster or crab?
Crab.
Is The Wire the greatest television series of all time?
It's up there. Breaking Bad is up there too, I think.
Okay. Are you sick right now?
I'm not.
I always accuse Andy of being sick. I don't, for whatever reason, whenever he's on tour with me, I'm like, are you sick? And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm just getting over something. I'm not contagious. I'm like, God damn it.
There was one time I was pretty deathly sick on the road, though.
Oh, yeah,
which,
yeah. But you weren't in my bus. You,
no.
You were in – I, that was a baller move. I had two buses, one for the openers, or as I like to refer to them, the riffraff. all right, we'll get into that. Please describe to our listeners exactly what your job entails, because even I'm a little in the dark here.
The biggest things are just like routing the tours, which I really enjoy. So it's kind of putting the puzzle together of how the tours come together, what cities they want to be in, what cities the comic want to be in, and what day, and routing it out. Be is it 10 shows, 30 shows? And then it's negotiating the deals with the artist representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's making sure the tickets sell so the artist can make as much money as possible. We can make as much money as possible. And then it's following through with the show all the way to the end, making sure that the show goes smoothly from the moment you or the artist walks into the building until they exit the theater.
And sometimes you're actually even just with the artist throughout the entire tour.
Yeah. We, you know, me personally and, you know, Live Nation Comedy, we really try to be as hands-on as possible and, you know, take care of the artist as much as possible. And
so for people listening, so you work for Live Nation and you basically only handle comics that can sell. What's the smallest venues that you're dealing with?
We do shows in some clubs that have like 400 seats or so.
Okay.
So, and we also have comedy clubs. You know, we have The Punchline in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. And that's owned by Live Nation.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
The Punchline in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
The Punchline in Sacramento as well.
My first experience with The Punchline was in San Francisco. It was such a big deal to get it. And I got like a shit week when you're first getting there. It was like a Thanksgiving week. And me and Sean Rouse went up there. RIP to Sean. He's dead. He was an amazing comedian. And he just like literally blew me off stage every night. Like he was so much better than me.
I hung out with Molly actually a few weeks ago. She says hello, by the way.
Ah, yeah. Molly's a wonderful woman up in San Francisco with tattoos of Dave Matthews Band lyrics on her arms.
That's right.
Now, this interview, you were... I don't know if you were hesitant. I certainly know your boss, Jeff, was, because you're privy to such information about artists, and they're just like making sure that you can't talk about people. So at times, I'll allude to things, and you can just shut me up if I'm going down the wrong path. But let's start from the beginning. How did you get into promoting comedy and booking comedy?
I went to college at American University in D.C.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good school?
I'd say so. And I was a broadcast journalism major, so I thought I was going to go down that track, mm-hmm. wanting to be sportscaster. But I just started going to tons of concerts at school, like just, you know, music shows, some comedy shows, but more music shows, mm-hmm. and just started befriending some of the bands that were playing there, and they were up-and-coming bands, and then got involved in the college radio station and really just started being involved in the music side of things. And then there was a programming board on campus, which help bring bands and comedians to school, basically using the school dollars.
Yep. What people don't know about these campus activity boards is like you said, you're an 18-year-old, and all of a sudden you're getting to play
exactly.
with budgets
yep.
that are so much larger than anybody ever really knows.
Exactly.
Like what it costs to bring real entertainers to school, and then they give you, I mean, what kind of budgets were your schools letting you play with?
We had a pretty healthy budget. I mean, we had like
half a million.
I think it might have been a little less than that, but for the whole course of the year, you had the mm-hmm. program something in the fall, so you just couldn't blow it on one event.
No, I know.
But yeah, overall, it was like budgeting, and yeah, we could get a big show in the fall, a big show in the spring, that sort of thing. But
you know, I'm in the NACA Hall of Fame.
I didn't know that, but
well, I am. So that's these organizations that book entertainers into colleges, and I did a ton of colleges. I remember once talking to my good friend Nick Swartzen outside of the Melrose Improv.
Right.
This was when we were kids. And I was like, I'm doing about 100 colleges a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'm doing about six. And I go, oh, why you got to do more? I go, the money's so good. He's like, yeah, I know, but like, I don't know. And then I was like, well, I'm getting like 1,500 a show.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I'm getting like 12,000. And I was like, oh. Nick is so much smarter than I am. He was doing 6 shows a year for 12,000 a pop. I was doing 100 for 1,500. Anyway.
So I got involved in it with DC that way, and then, you know, fulfilled my major and did all my requirements, but I really kind of got turned off by the whole journalism side and all that and just wanted to get into the entertainment side. And when I graduated, I was like, well, this is fun. I don't want to get a real job. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of morphed into a real job and just kind of.
Do you feel like you have a real job now?
I do, yeah.
So, I mean,
I enjoy it. But
you don't, you no longer love it.
No. I still love it.
Love it?
I tell my friends, like, when an athlete, like, retires, like, they know it's time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still fun for me. So I know if it's, like, going.
Well, what are you going to go to next?
I don't know. That's, right. Yeah. But I still love it. Love it. Stressful days at times, but I still love it.
You've got some good comedy friends.
Absolutely, yeah. That were, you know, just, I think people don't realize, like, how many people are involved in making a show happen. So, like, just friends within the office and the venues and marketing, ticketing, production. So it's, you know, you become friends with all these people because you're just around them. So.
And some of them not friend. Some of them borderline hostile.
Yeah, things can get crazy sometimes, stressful situations. But
right, because you're dealing with entertainers that come from all walks of life. I walk off stage, you're there. I actually refuse now to even take a settlement sheet. I'm like, just email me. Like, the monies get wired.
Yeah.
But there are still these performers that want a briefcase full of cash.
I think it's a little, probably not as common anymore, but some people still.
But it still happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's more on the music side, I'd say.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
But there's definitely a few comics that are like, no, give me, you know, 6-figure amounts in cash after I get off stage, and then they're just... That's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
And there's been times where you didn't have the cash. No. Or is that not true?
Not true.
Okay. How many people have mistaken you for the talent's accountant?
You know, it's probably happened a few times.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So one tour I did, when you get to the level of needing your expertise, it's like it's a big deal in a comic's career. You go from comedy clubs to theaters. And so once I got to that point, I was like, oh, this is going to disappear any moment. Little did I know that I'm bulletproof. But so like the first time I booked a proper tour, I was like, okay, let's do it for just 2 months. That doesn't seem long. 60 days. But I go, but I don't want any nights off. So it was 60 days, 60 shows. But then it started selling well. And we did 2 shows every night. So 120 shows in 60 days.
It was crazy. Do you remember Julie that we had out on the road for one of those tours?
She was trying to fly to every city every day commercially, and it wasn't working. So then she's like, I'm just going to rent an RV. And she was just driving behind her bus in an RV. I guess, and should have I invited her on the bus? Is that what I should have done?
Probably, yeah. We still talk about it to this day.
I mean, I didn't know protocol.
No, it's fine. It's all, I mean... There's no right answer, but it was a lot of dates.
Well, I remember she had got one of her friends to like drive the RV, and she was trying to sleep, but like an RV is not meant for like sleeping and going 90 miles an hour down the highway.
And it wasn't her fault, but then I think like the RV that they rented somehow got like infested with bugs or something. Like so it was just so it just became like a nightmare of a thing.
Yeah. That was the same tour that my manager, Christy Smith, ended up breaking rule 1 on the tour bus.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, she blamed it on the lobster, but we all ate the same lobster rolls. And then all of a sudden she was just blowing up the bathroom, flying down the highway. Oh, it was disturbing. Hey, did I push you in the ocean in Halifax?
No, you pushed Andrew. I vividly remember like that those days in Halifax, though.
I remember Halifax too, and I here's what I remember I remember crapping my pants on a hike, that I remember. But also, I remember We asked you to take a photo of us, and we called you Shaky Andy.
Because my, yeah.
You were trembling.
I was trembling.
And I was like, and then you later found out.
Yeah, that was the, shortly thereafter, I found out I had a lot of other symptoms, and I found out that I had type 2 diabetic, and my blood sugar was just completely out of kilter at right. that moment. So everybody's making fun of me, and then I realized that was the condition that was causing that. Now I'm reversed it and very healthy.
But what you're telling me is that my mocking
yes.
saved your life.
Exactly. Yeah. But that day was crazy because I remember we went on that hike and I was so out of shape and just everything that I just looked like you would have thought it was like a death march or something. And I gave Pete a picture that I found from that day.
Oh, man.
Of me, you, and Fulcheron.
Oh, Matt Fulcheron.
Good dude.
Good stuff. The big college tour that you and I did, everyone was worried about you because you were deathly sick the whole time. You needed to leave. You're like, listen, I'm going to die. So you left and then you brought this other guy aboard that dressed like a, well, how would you describe how he dressed?
Like a casual safari.
Safari. This guy like...
He's still doing his thing. He's
is
a good
he
guy.
Still with you?
Yeah,
his diet is concerning too.
I'm not sure about his diet.
He only would eat at Raising Cane's. Have you ever tried stand up?
I actually have never tried it, but I did write a lot in college, and I never had the like balls to give it a shot.
So you have a journal?
I wish I still had it. I had it
if
at the
you
time.
Would give me that journal, I could get at least 5 new minutes out of it.
I had 5 minutes at the time, but I just never went with anything.
Has Louis C.K. ever masturbated in front of you?
Negative.
On a tour bus, does Kevin Hart have to sit in a child seat?
I don't work on Kevin's tour, so I can't answer that.
Were you in charge of making sure Dimitri Martin had an easel at every show?
That's on his rider, yes. So if in fact it's part of the show, then yes, we had to make sure it was there.
How's my rider?
It's very, you're one of the more simple riders out there, which is great. In terms of like hospitality needs, it's actually become like a kind of a joke, but it's funny.
What's the joke?
Well, no, it's just like there's not a lot on there. It's like for the longest, for all the years we've been wearing it, it's like bottled water and a candle.
Yeah. Well, now
a scented candle, and it's very important that the candle is like a good candle.
It can't be a fucking Glade.
Yeah, like CVS or
no,
something.
No,
yeah.
I want like a locally made yes. nice candle, and then I collect, I use them in the green room, and then when I get home, I have a whole stack of candles from being on tour, and I don't have to buy candles because that's annoying.
Oh, yeah. On a previous tour, I remember like all the cities of just trying to make sure everybody had a nice candle. We wanted, you know, we wanted uh-huh. to make sure some places like it was harder to find like a nice candle
of
shop per se.
Is.
So we would like, you know, we would find a place and then just like buy them out. tell Andrew Wontuck back in the day, be like, just buy 12 of them, you know?
So stupid. But now, here's another thing that a lot of people don't know about artists is they can put whatever they want in their rider. The artists themselves are paying for it. Like it's coming out of an expense.
Correct.
So it's like people always like, oh, can you believe they wanted a tiger backstage or whatever the nonsense is? It's like, well, I don't want to pay for that. So, I'll have some water and a candle and some celery.
Yeah, the veggie tray was kind of an added. That got added
and that's
late.
Not even for me. That's because if Todd Glass or somebody's with me,
gotcha.
they freak out. which comedian has the worst fan base?
No, I can't answer that.
Gerard Carmichael opened for me. We were in Hawaii together.
Yeah.
So we rented a beautiful house in Hawaii right on the beach for a few days, I don't know, a week, he never once left his room.
Yeah, I recall that too. I love Gerard, but yeah, that was kind of the strain. That was like, enjoy Hawaii, you know?
We never saw him.
He did enjoy it.
He didn't. We never saw him. He never came out of his room. It was weird.
There was also actually when we did Maui, mm-hmm. he was on stage crushing, opening, uh-huh. and there was like, I'll never forget, there was like a fight that broke out in the theater. Like somebody almost got thrown off the balcony. It was crazy.
You know, I have had a few fights break out in the audience during my shows, and I've gotten to a point in my career where like, I don't even care. I don't even want to acknowledge it. I'm like, whatever. Yeah. I'll just keep talking to the people that are in the front.
Yeah, let security deal with it.
Yeah, but security's garbage for the most part at these venues. I mean, I was on stage at one time and somebody stormed me on the stage and no one ever stopped them.
Yeah, they finally did. But luckily, I don't think that person was coming to like hurt you in any way. No. He was just a crazy person, but yeah.
So will you negotiate with my agent? By the way, do you enjoy negotiating with Stacey?
She can be she can definitely be tough at times and make my life a little crazy, but we get along well.
So is there actually any hostility toward her ever?
No, I mean, sometimes it gets.
Do you have to tell her, hey, knock it off? And let's just talk about me personally, because you're allowed to talk. If she's like demanding this and you're like, he's not worth, are you yelling like he's not worth that?
No. I don't think so.
How do you haggle? How do you haggle her down?
I just, no, it's just trying to state the facts of what I believe and the risk involved and all that stuff.
Oh, is there a lot of risk with me?
Putting up the expenses and all that.
So, I try to stay in my lane.
No, totally.
In venues. I'm not trying to play things that I can't sell. I've said this before, but like I try to stay in the 1500 to, you know, maybe at the max 4,500 seats. That's my sweet spot because I don't want to do a lot of promotion. That's really it. What's your favorite cities to work in?
Well, I guess cities and theaters, I guess. But like I love Chicago. The Chicago theater is an amazing theater.
It's too big. The ceilings are too high.
I still like it.
It is pretty.
Seattle, the Paramount, I like a lot. The Masonic in San Francisco. I like the Bay Area. The Bay Area is great. The Ryman in Nashville is cool too.
Oh, I love the Ryman.
That's a good, yeah. Just
that's a great theater.
I mean, just the intimacy and
It feels cool.
Yeah, the mother church, they call it.
I mean, these theaters are some of them. The older they are, the more beautiful they are, the more despicable backstage is, right. and anyone over 6 feet tall is going to have their head just blasted off over and over. I never care about I don't go to sound check.
Right.
I just.
But there are certain theaters that you had, or did like Radio City mean anything to you?
No.
So it, like some people have like the bucket list of venues.
No,
you know?
Bucket list.
Yeah.
And also like whenever they want to like give me a tour of the theater,
right.
Like, oh, we'll bring you back down to the basement. What's the Georgia one? The Fox there?
Oh, the Fox, yeah.
Don't they brag about having like the first air conditioner?
Correct. They had an air conditioner before the White House.
Right, but it's because it's in Georgia where it's hot.
Right.
What's the worst market in America to sell tickets in?
That's a tough question. I think it depends on who the artist is. And I'm always a proponent, though, of the colder the venue or the colder the market, that's when you should be there when it's freezing. Mm-hmm. Like people like in, you know, Duluth, Minnesota only have X amount of like sunlight and nice weather. Yeah. So I think something might sell better there in February than it would in August.
You are one of the greatest comics, stand-up performer, Brian Regan, is a good friend of yours.
Yeah, the best.
You travel with him constantly.
I used to. I still work with him, but I used to be on the road constantly, yeah.
Every venue for six years,
yeah.
60 shows plus a year.
Yeah, definitely more than 60, probably 70, 80.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. But it was a great life experience and cool to travel all 50 states, Canada. And it was really cool to see all the venues because if you see the venues, then you kind of know, all right, this comedian might work here. This comedian might not work here. This venue is good for this reason. This venue is not good for this purpose, that sort of thing.
Did Brian like you as a person or no?
I think so. I think he does. You have to have him on next.
No, I don't have comics on.
That's right. Okay.
All right. You were on the road with Brian Regan and audio issues?
Well, when you do as many shows as we've done there, you know, every once in a while there's going to be a faux pas or two. But I was doing a show with Brian in Fargo, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people think is like a tiny city.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's the largest city in North Dakota.
Agreed. I think it's completely underrated. It's a cool town.
Yeah, I have no issue with it.
Yeah, we're doing the show, sold out show. And Dennis Regan, his brother, is opening. Mm-hmm. And Dennis goes on stage to start the show, and he does a few lines, but then all of a sudden the mic cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
So Dennis just immediately walks off stage.
And Dennis got a little bit of an attitude. Probably wasn't thrilled about this.
Not at all, yeah.
Okay.
So Dennis walks right off stage. So Brian's like, we need somebody to like go out there and just keep talking to make sure it works, you know? We can't have this happen again. So kind of like all eyes peer on me. So I go out
there. This is your big break.
I go out there in front of all these people. And I just say, all right, we're just going to, I'm going to keep talking to make sure we can fix this. And I just start saying the alphabet and I get to maybe the letter, like, I don't know, Q or P. And I just, at that point, got a little stage fright and freaked out. And I just couldn't remember the alphabet at that point. Mm-hmm. And then everybody just starts crying. And then it just becomes like, you know, chaos a little bit. And I'm getting pretty flustered on stage.
You just make noise? What do you do?
I don't even remember what I did, but it was pretty embarrassing. And then I get off and we fixed the issue. We get back out there and Brian joked saying thanks everybody for their patience and then thanked busted me for not knowing the alphabet.
I mean, it's tough.
And then Brian got off stage because Brian comes off then does an encore.
Oh.
And I said to Brian, I'm like, literally the only thing keeping this show going right now is this little fan here. So I'm like, go out and do your Pop-Tarts bit as quick as possible. And let's get the fuck out of here, you know? He's got a few bits that
sure.
The encore and some are longer than the other. Like uh-huh. If he were to do Spelling Bee, he'd be there 7 minutes.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So I'm just like, we got to get out of here.
You produced Bill Cosby's first comeback show after all the rape allegations, true or false?
No, false.
No. Would you have any interest in promoting a tour with Cosby and Hannibal Buress together?
No.
Calling it like both sides. Do you work outside of the U.S.?
Yes. I think that, you know, that's becoming more and more of a business now, you know, with Netflix and streaming platforms and comedy specials in general. It's just, yeah, things are becoming just more universal now.
So. I know, but so much, you have to travel so much farther.
But you did some shows abroad. We did Australia and stuff.
Yeah, but that was
like
only so I could watch tennis.
And there's a lot of people that do that. They build a vacation out of it. That's the way to do it.
No, I refuse to travel anywhere on my own dime.
Right.
Do you take vacations?
I do. I've been a lot better about it over the past few years.
Yeah, you've taken some crazy trips.
Yeah, like in December when the business kind of slows down a little bit, I kind of try to get away and do cool shit, I guess. I did Patagonia 1 year.
How did you do in Patagonia? Were you? Did you do some big hikes?
Yeah, huge hikes. Yeah, Torres del Paine National
because
Park.
Because, I mean, I'm, yeah. Reminder.
First Halifax.
Reminder that
yeah.
We walked a half a mile and you almost died.
Yeah, much healthier now.
Let's talk about COVID. There were no live shows.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly.
Did you go, oh my goodness, my career is over?
I mean, I think we all knew we were going to come back, but we just didn't know when.
How much did Live Nation lose in dollars that year?
No idea. But
billions?
I have no idea. But like, I mean, I think the company did an incredible job trying to take care of as many people as they could
uh-huh.
under the circumstances.
Did you do like, what are those dumb, like a Zoom stand-up shows?
Well, I did one of them actually. I booked a Zoom comedy show. And I booked Tom Popple on the, and he actually did fairly, he did better sure. than I thought it was going to be. But it was weird to just see people in the boxes just like laughing at this joke that he was doing from like his living room, you know? Uh-huh. But we did do some shows. I mean, we helped produce all the Chappelle shows in the cornfields that he did in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And
you and Chappelle drove,
right.
Not in a tour bus.
Right.
In a minivan?
It was one of his first shows back. And
back, meaning after he kind of quit kind of the entertainment business after Comedy Central show, et cetera.
Yeah, some time went by.
Okay.
And then he decided he wanted to play the Fillmore in Detroit, cool, mm-hmm. very cool theater. And so he was going to do that show, and then he was going to do three in Toronto. So I went to the show, everything went great, and then I was like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow in Toronto. My flight gets in at like 11 a.m. or whatever, you know? And he's like, whoa, I'm driving tonight. So I thought, you know, you're coming with me. And I'm like, this is kind of crazy. So at like 1:30 in the morning, 2 in the morning, we literally get into his minivan and he drives four.
Was it nice? Was it a nice minivan?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah.
Like leather seats, Town and Country? What
I
was
think
it?
So. Yeah.
It okay.
Four and a half, 5 hour drive to Toronto.
Uh-huh.
But about that last hour, it was really rough. We were both pretty exhausted. So once we got to Toronto, the shows were great shows. Kind of the funny story that happened to that. In Toronto, you're not allowed to smoke in the venues. And Dave smokes on stage, as many people know. And the venue was like, you can't smoke on stage. The guy, the general manager of the venue told me that. And I kind of was like, well, you have these sold out shows with Dave Chappelle, so you're just going to have to deal with it. And he didn't like that too much and was like, no, I don't think you understand. It's like provincial law here. Like, you know, the equivalent of the health department could come in, shut the show down, fine you as the promoter. So I then realized the gravity of it all. And we kind of explained to Dave, you really can't smoke on stage. Like, it's pretty serious. Then the next morning, I get a phone call that David walked to the mayor's office asking why he couldn't smoke on stage.
Did he get the mayor?
He got the mayor, and the mayor was like, I'm glad you're here, but you cannot smoke on stage. So he didn't smoke on stage. Then the irony goes, a few months later, sadly, that mayor was the mayor that smoked some other things.
Yeah, he's a crackhead.
And he has since passed away, which is sad. But like,
no, that part is sad.
Yeah, yeah.
But the part about the crackhead telling the guy you can't smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, the irony there is pretty.
Would have Dave been allowed to smoke crack on stage?
Probably no. I think everything is off.
Any version.
Yeah, yeah.
I always give my I guess something, but you don't really. Nothing in my house is something I think you would want. But I still have a few things. This I want you to have. This is unused. These are earbuds.
Oh, nice. Hold on.
They're made to Christy Smith. They have her name on. The cheap motherfucker at Comedy Central that like took over after like he fires everybody and gets rid of every show. This was the parting gift he gave to Christy Smith for my show of 13 years.
Right.
And he did. They didn't even give it to her. They sent it to me. And I've never given it to her, but anyway,
I'm gonna.
So now you have some earbuds.
Yeah, or maybe I'll go to lunch with Christy and give
no, it don't give them to her. Just it's neater that you have Christy. And then this is just an old photo of me as a kid with Jay-Z.
Hilarious. This is hilarious.
I just thought that'd be nice.
This will go in my office.
Yeah.
I have an old picture like this of me and Dr. J that I have to show you.
Okay.
I'm like up to his knee.
I will happily put that on my desk. Yeah, Dr. Get this off my desk. Off. Yeah, right. I don't want this on my table. You toured with Bill Murray. Is he the coolest motherfucker alive?
He is. Like, I was a little nervous at first, and then I'm like, this guy is literally the greatest person on earth. Like,
he is, right?
It's just everything about it's like a unicorn. Like, it's just, it was awesome.
What was his show like?
So, the concept was I had heard that
it was classical music, right?
It was a bunch of stuff. I had heard that he was doing these shows, and
that's classical music. Yeah,
and he doesn't have an agent or manager, which everybody knows.
Like, he's got a landline that you call, you leave a message, and if he's interested, he'll call you back.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, how am I going to, like, who's doing this show that he's doing? So I found out he was tied to two classical musicians and the agent was out of Germany. Mm-hmm. So I called Germany.
Just one number?
Yeah. And just explain exactly. And explain what I do and if there was any more shows available. And she was like, oh, the timing's amazing. We're having trouble finding venues in two cities.
Okay.
And I thought she was going to say like Topeka. And she's like, well, we can't find venues in San Francisco and Seattle.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like,
this is so easy.
This is unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
So I booked the shows. It was a few classically trained, incredibly talented classical musicians. So a combination of like classical music, storytelling, poetry, some singing. Bill has a great voice. So he did some contemporary songs, covered like a Van Morrison song, John Prine song.
Just insane.
Just unbelievable. And like, you see, like, we deal with comedians all the time, but then you see like the talent of a classical musician. It's just mind-boggling, you know?
It's different?
A little bit. Just a little bit. So I did one show with him in Seattle. I didn't even like, was nervous. Like, Bill had some friends there. I didn't even really talk to him that day. But then did one more show in San Francisco. And everybody kind of like warmed up to each other. And then we just became this like unit. And they did about maybe 20 shows. And I did about 14 of them, including London and Scotland. So yeah, the last time I saw him was in London. Great show. Then went to the Chiltern Firehouse, which is just this like epic, very famous bar that you kind of need to be asked or invited in. And it just had
Did Bill just get to walk in?
I mean, we didn't have any trouble getting in. I mean, maybe he gave the heads up or something,
okay.
But they gladly let us in. But yeah, just a great night there. And then kind of, he put me in a taxi back to my hotel, thanked me, and I haven't seen him since.
Did he pay for the taxi?
No, I don't think so. I paid for it.
Do you hate some of these YouTube stars that can sell tickets? Or are you getting to that age where you're like, oh, shit, these younger performers, I have no interest in listening to them? Or are you like, no, it's good, too?
No, I like it, too. I mean, if they can sell tickets, it's worth looking at. I mean, there's a lot of artists that you might not have to like personally?
When I was a kid and used like to see a stand-up comic in a large venue, there was like two comedians, like right. Steve Martin and I don't know, somebody else.
Yeah.
But now it just seems like there's so many comics that are at the level of performing in larger venues. Is that, am I wrong?
No, totally right. Like larger venues and just smaller venues. I mean, there's the days of, all right, you got to put in your time at the club and do mm-hmm. that is kind of, you know, I think there's a lot of artists where they might become big and then the fans might want to see them in person. It might not even be about the material. They just want to have that moment with them. You know?
Uh-huh. What other shows are they doing besides stand-up?
Well,
what do they do live?
Sometimes it's stand-up. Sometimes it's like sketch or improv or whatever, you know, or podcasts are going live now too. I mean, that's
do you promote live podcasts?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's just like,
can you imagine how horrible this would be if there's an audience in front of us?
Yeah. People would be paying to see me or seeing you, but yeah.
Who's the next big superstar comedian?
Tough to say.
I never can pick it. I'll like, people tell me like, who do you think? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Are there any comics now that you like a lot though? That
no.
Or do you like?
No. I like them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get into, I'm a big, there's room for everyone, but.
No, there's some great ones. I know Andrew Schulz's camp are big fans of yours. And one of his openers, Mark Gagnon, very funny comic.
Mm-hmm.
He's from the Orlando area. So like, you're like his, you know.
Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Man. That was some tough sledding back then.
Yeah. It is kind of weird. There's tons of comics from Florida, though. It's like, it's just, I don't know, it's just like an anomaly of just other, like, you know, Larry the Cable Guy.
I mean, Mitch Hedberg really started in West Palm, too.
Yeah.
Even though I know he's from Minneapolis.
Carrot Top always is.
Oh, Scott. God, I love him.
He makes me laugh so much. I think I told you this. I saw him once at the Vegas airport, and I'm like, oh, that can't be Carrot Top. Like,
oh, no. Of course, what, he had a hat on that said Carrot Top with a shirt with an arrow pointing, I'm Carrot Top.
I just, like, couldn't believe it was him. I was like, this guy, like, why is he, like, he could clearly just private or whatever.
And no, of course he could. Yeah, he's worth $100 million easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, his social media presence is so sexual. I find that disturbing.
He was in one of your videos for a while.
Yeah.
Your intro videos on stage. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and him doing the Selena Gomez.
Yeah, that was pretty sexual.
That was sexy. But I was in character. I was pretending to be Selena. Now, we can't talk about certain things, but there are a few performers that you've worked with in your life that when they, and knock on wood that it's not anytime soon, but hopefully it's before this podcast stops being a thing, when they pass away, that you'll come back on and we'll have some discussions about them.
Fair enough.
Okay. That's good to know. People at home, they can just guess like, oh my goodness, who could this possibly be? All right. Well, Andy, I'll see you back on the road. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee.
Visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Posh Show. And that about does it. I want to thank Andy Leavitt for being on the show. Live Nation. They get things done. Carl, do you enjoy Andy Leavitt? He's a good man. Every time he sees you on the road, what does he do? Huh? He tousles your hair just a little bit. Just like that. We like Andy. We appreciate what he does to make tour life way more enjoyable. Anything I want on the road, he gets it done. Hummus, it's in my green room. Celery, what do you like? Carrots? Oh, you loved carrots. Speaking of food, I got a little egg on my face for this story. My wife bought a bag of hard-boiled eggs for our daughter. Thought maybe this would be a quick little snack for her. And she didn't want to eat them. And I'm like, I love a hard-boiled egg. You know, a little salt. Pop it in. Delicious, right, Carl? Okay, but how many hard-boiled eggs do you really want to eat? I don't know. This is a big old bag of hard-boiled eggs. And a bag of hard-boiled eggs sounds disgusting.
It does. This sounds good.
I'm snacking on them. Hey, you know, 1 week turns into a couple months. And there's still a handful of hard-boiled eggs left in there. And I keep looking at the expiration date every time. And it says, it says mid-May or something. I'm like, these are great. They're still good. Carly's like, what are you doing? You can't eat those. I'm like, it says mid-May. It says expires. Or I didn't even say expired. It said sell by mid-May.
Right.
Right. So I'm fine. The last hard-boiled egg after a dozen or so of these things over a three-month period, I realized that it's, yes, you know, they expire 7 days after you open the bag. So whatever. I'll be honest with you. My stomach handled them. Every time I opened it, the whole room would smell. Would smell. But hey, what are you going to do? Well, my stomach handled it. That's all that matters. The GOAT premieres in 2 days, guys. There'll be 3 episodes available. But currently, you can see the very first pilot episode, the first episode on YouTube. God, Amazon, you are confusing. Whatever. Don't forget to check out boyswearpink.com, the hottest toddler line out there. My tour, come see me in all the fun cities, Louisville, Detroit, Columbus. I don't know what we're going to do in Columbus. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to blow the roof off of that venue when I perform my jokes. Speaking of unwatchable, another one of my kids' bedtime stories. See you next week.
Once upon a time, in a deep, deep doubt, a big, big heat, was some little lions, but they wanted ham hot dogs. Ham. They wanted ham, but they said it was turkey meatballs.
All right, well, let me see. So there's three lions in a cave. And they wanted ham, but their favorite thing is turkey meatballs?
Ham meatballs. Turkey meatballs.
Okay, go on, sorry.
Okay, now we do another story?
That's the end of the story?
No, we do another story?
That story is garbage.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and streaming now on Hulu.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career.
Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.